the Wisconsin State Assembly will have a new committee to address government efficiency. It's Friday, December 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a plan to move coal piles out of downtown Green Bay is now in jeopardy. And almost 300 homes show off their best holiday decor in a western Milwaukee suburb. Producer Mallory Chang decided to check it out. Stay with us.
This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
What people see is the prices they're paying, right? Or the level of credit card debt they have. And so,
but there's also a practical need to move toward a carbon neutrality, especially on the in the Lake Superior in the North Country.
And if you come together and deal with the issues, you have a greater amount of collective strength.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has announced a project to address government efficiency in the Wisconsin State Assembly. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, it's similar to one proposed by President-elect Donald Trump.
Voss announced a new assembly committee called GOAT. That's Government Operations, Accountability, and Transparency. In an interview with Wisconsin Eye, Voss said it would include exploring how to bring artificial intelligence into government work.
It's how do we drive efficiency so that the people who live in Wisconsin can afford to stay here, but also expect the services that they have come to want in a way that's much more meaningful and in a way that's much more efficient.
Voss said the Assembly GOAT Committee is similar to a Trump advisory office called the Department of Government Efficiency, also known as DOGE. That's being helmed by Tesla founder Elon Musk and former far-right presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County court ruling, which struck down a controversial law restricting public employee union bargaining rights, has been put on hold for now. Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost issued a temporary stay this week of his order declaring much of the law known as Act 10 unconstitutional. He's considering whether to extend the hold while the Republican-controlled legislature appeals the case. Brenna Goddard is an attorney with UW-Madison's State Democracy Research Initiative. She says a state appeals court or the Wisconsin Supreme Court could also put a hold on Frost's ruling.
But it is possible that one of the parties might ask for a petition for bypass to sort of leapfrog the Court of Appeals and go straight to the Wisconsin Supreme Court from the Circuit Court.
Earlier this month, Frost ruled Act 10 is unconstitutional because it restricts bargaining rights for some employees but not others, even though they perform similar jobs. A plan to move coal piles out of downtown Green Bay for the first time in more than 100 years is now in jeopardy following a vote by the Brown County Board. The coal piles sit on a 35-acre parcel owned by the C. Rice Company. Brown County and the company negotiated a lease that would have moved the coal piles to a decommissioned power plant owned by the county. Instead of approving the negotiated lease, the county board approved a lease with a shorter term and more variable rate increases. Patrick Buckley is the Brown County Board Chair.
The changes are, I would say, minor changes, and actually for the good of the taxpayers of Brown County.
After the meeting, the company called the board's vote a rejection of what was negotiated over the last year. Wisconsin businesses and farmers have been notified that their insurance will not pay for any losses tied to PFAS contamination. As Danielle Kading reports, the changes come as PFAS manufacturers are facing billions of dollars in lawsuits over pollution from the chemicals.
Town of Peshtigo resident Cindy Boyle co-owns a graphic design and sign company. While renewing her commercial liability policy, she noticed that Sheboygan-based Acuity Insurance would not cover bodily injury or property damage stemming from PFAS. Boyle says she was excited to see the change as Peshtigo residents have struggled with PFAS contamination.
If businesses can't get insurance to cover them from the liability of using PFAS, then they're going to be far more motivated to stop using PFAS in their manufacturing.
A spokesperson for Acuity didn't return a request for comment. Earlier this year, federal regulators also designated PFAS as hazardous substances. That allows them to force polluters to pay to clean up the chemicals amid a wave of litigation over PFAS contamination. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Every year for almost 40 years, there are 12 residential streets in West Dallas that get all decked out in their brightest holiday decor. It's become a holiday tradition for generations of families and friends. Our producer Mallory Chang took a walk around Candy Cane Lane to see what was happening for herself. We'll hear from her after this.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
Whether or not you consume a piece of art doesn't make you a good or bad person. You're going to have to find some other way to accomplish that.
And provocative.
I get to play all those things in Better Call Saul. I'm extremely lucky.
And always playful.
The fact that you know the footnotes to the footnotes to the footnotes.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a trip to a winter wonderland.
Every night between Thanksgiving and Christmas, about 300 homes in a West Dallas neighborhood light up their houses and their yards with their best holiday decor. Candy Cane Lane has been a staple since 1985, serving as a spectacular tradition for many families and friends. WPR's Mallory Chang takes us on a tour of the festive streets.
Candy Cane Lane has been one of the places that a lot of my friends from the Milwaukee area said I should visit, but I have to admit, I hadn't gotten a chance to yet, until tonight.
First impressions, walking through Candy Cane Lane, a lot of candy canes. Okay, there's a lot of lights on this one. This one has a giant abominable snowman. Not a lot of inflatables on this one.
Okay, but enough excitement. I was running late to meet Ken Perkle.
I'm not an inflatable guy.
Perkle has been living in the neighborhood for more than two decades, and he's been decorating the whole time, but he officially joined the Candy Cane Lane Committee in 2006.
I moved in, and I didn't know that Candy Cane Lane was quite like this. I thought, you know, this is a great thing, and it's a lot of fun, and I started decorating really, you know, a lot.
He refers to his style as traditionalist. Perkle doesn't have many LED lights or inflatables.
I got a lot of hodgepodge of a lot of different things. I got my big maple tree all lit up, and then I pick up things along the way.
In front of his house, he has a mannequin dressed up as Santa Claus leaning up against a fireplace mantle with an adult beverage, a sign that says Reindeer Crossing, along with an abundance of decor hanging from the tree.
I'm gonna just say that I'm a fan of the penguins and the hot air balloons.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lady and her kids came through last night, and she goes, oh, yeah, the penguins from Madagascar, you know? And I go, yeah, they're up in the tree up there, you know?
I'm assuming your house is your favorite house.
There's a house on 94th Street that's very elaborate, very cool. You know, he's got all these lights on and stuff.
So we walked over.
Oh, that's the one?
Yeah, it's the one.
That's why I was a little late. I was staring at this one. There's so much to look at.
I know, and he does this all by himself.
Speaking of appearances, Perkle happens to look a lot like a certain famous jolly white-bearded man.
Hi, Santa!
Hey, guys, how are you doing tonight, huh?
Does that happen a lot?
It happens all the time. All year long.
A huge part of Candy Cane Lane is their annual partnership with Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer, also known as the MAC Fund. According to Perkle, they've been collecting donations since around 1987 to support a neighborhood kid who was diagnosed with cancer.
Jeremy Klein was diagnosed at 5 years old with cancer. And they started decorating, and people started driving through to look at their decorations. And some of the people said, you know what, we should go out there and put a bucket out there and get some money for the family. And they collected, I think, like $1,500 or $1,600 the first year. They thought, this is really good. So they contacted the MAC Fund, and they started Candy Cane Lane.
Since Candy Cane Lane started collecting donations, they've raised more than $3.5 million to the MAC Fund. And Jeremy Klein?
He's probably 45 years old now, you know, and he survived. He's a survivor.
Perkle plans to keep decorating his house and standing out in the street with the other volunteers as long as he can.
It's not only a tradition for us to decorate, it's a tradition for the people coming through. I'm getting to be close to 80 years old, and my body's wearing down, so I don't know how long I would be standing out here, but I'll probably be out here in a wheelchair and get somebody to decorate.
But before we left, WPR photojournalist Angela Major and I needed to do one final walk through Candy Cane Lane.
There's a NASCAR one on the corner right here. My brain is so happy to be here. There's so many things to look at.
Really cool.
Oh,
look at that.
That's so funny.
That was WPR Midday host and podcast producer Mallory Chang. Candy Cane Lane is open until Christmas Day. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Quick check of weather before we let you go. It's going to be windy today. A lot of the state saw snow yesterday, and it's all going to be blowing around today, with high temperatures expected to peak out in the 20s in the north and 30s in the south. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today, you just heard from one of them, Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.